We continue Be'ezrat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Nedarim. We are up to Daf Lamedhe on the top line. This limud is Leilu Nishmat Reuven ben David, Yosef ben Tamara, Harav Shalom Cohen ben Tfach Amalka, Yair ben Tova, Naim ben Chatun, Yom Tov ben Chana, Shaul ben Latife, Erez ben Miriam, את הרבקה בת מרדכי, רבקה בת דבורה, אבא שלומית בת אילנה אסתר, חיה אסתר חווה בת שרה, לובה בת מזל, עליהם השלום. אוסו לזכות רפואה שלמה, פרארון יצחק בן ברינה, אברהם בן אביבה, משה בן חנה, יוחאי בן בלוריה, אסתר בת שרה, גרז טובה בת חנה, אלישבע בת נטע, חנה בת סוליקאין, גבריאלה מסודה בת שרה. The Gemara is discussing the question that was posed on the Flamed Daled Amud Bet by Rav Chiya Bar Avin, before Rava. If a person says, Kikari alecha, if a person says to his friend, my kikar is asur unto you, my loaf of bread is forbidden to you. And then, untana lo bematana, and then he gave it to him as a gift. So the question is, do we place the importance on when he said, kikari, my loaf of bread? So once he gives it to him as a gift, it's not his loaf of bread anymore. Now it becomes his. So now he's allowed to have hana from it. Or do we say we place the emphasis on the word alecha? The word alecha is a term that is used to make something hekdesh. Kikari alecha, my kikar becomes hekdesh to you, which means that this item is now consecrated upon you, and therefore even after the matana is given, even after it's given as a matana, it would still be asur. So this was the question that Rav Chiya Bar Avin asked Rava. And Rava answered that it's pashut. It is obvious that the answer is that even after he gives it to him as a gift, it is still asur. So on this, the Gemara begins on the Flamidhe on top with a question. Etiveh. Rav Chiya Bar Avin asked a question on Rava's answer from the following Braita. It states in the Braita, Hash'ileni paratcha. If a person said to another, Hash'ileni paratcha, can you please lend me your cow? Amar lo, kunam para she'ani kanui lach. This para that I purchased, which is mine, is kunam, is asur unto you. Or he said, nechasai alecha, my property is asur, is prohibited upon you. Im yesh li para elazu, if I have any other para besides this one. And in fact, he does have another cow. He does have another para. He owns another one. Or if, let's say, another person said to him, Hash'ileni kardumcha, can I borrow your axe? Amar lo, kunam kardom shiyesh li she'ani kanui. My axe that I purchased is kunam, is a forbidden upon you. Or he said to him, Nechasai alai im yesh li kardom elaze. My property is forbidden to me if I have another axe other than this one. Venimtsa sheyeshlo, and it was discovered that he had another axe, right? And therefore the konam takes effect. The neder took effect. Bechayav asu. So the halacha is, during the life of the one who made this neder, so then either the cow or the axe is forbidden to the person who he made the neder on. Met o shenitna lo b'matana harezo mutar. If the one who made the neder died, or nitna lo b'matana, or if the cow or the axe was given to the mudar as a gift, then harezo mutar, it is permitted. So what do we see from here? The Chaora, Rav Chiya Bar Avin is asking on Rava. We see from here that the konam, the neder, is in effect only as long as the property is in his possession. But once he dies, or after he gives it to him as a matana, then it's no longer asur. The neder is not longer applicable. Amar avacha berei de ravika shenitna lo al yedei acher. Rav Acha, the son of Ravika, says, we can answer. The Braita that writes that once he gives it b'matana, it is mutar, it's talking about shenitna lo al yedei acher, meaning where it was given to the mudar through another person, which means the one who made the neder did not give him the gift directly. He actually sold it first, or he transferred it to a third party, who then, that person, gave it to the mudar as a present. So now, since the property left the possession of its owner before it was given to the mudar, so that's why the prohibition does not take effect upon it. So that's a different case. Over there, the reason why nitna lo bimatana, it's because it's given to him through someone else. But it's very possible that if he would have given it to him directly, then it would still be asur. So therefore, there's no question on Rava. And Ravashi says it even fits into the wording of the Braita, that's what the Braita is talking about. Amar Ravashi, dekanami, it fits into the words. Dekatane shenitenalo. The Braita is vowelized as follows. You read it shenitenalo. Shenitenalo means it was given to him. So that's mashma, that could imply that it was given to him by someone else. Velo katani shenitenalo. It doesn't say that he gave it to him. It says, shenitenalo, it was given to him. So that indicates that the halakha here in the Braita is only specifically talking about that the gift was given to him by a third party, not by the one who made the neder. Therefore, it's not a question on what Rava said before. Now, the Gemara poses another question. Be'amine Rava me'Rav Nachman. Rava asked the question from Rav Nachman, yesh me'ila bekonamot or lo? Is there liability of me'ila, of misuse of hekdesh, of consecrated property, in cases of konamot or not? Which means like this, if someone forbids something on his friend using the term konam, so is the word konam a term that is used for hekdesh also? And therefore, if the person violates these words, it's not just going against the neder, it's actually mo'el behekdesh, it's misusing something that is hekdesh. Or do we say the word konam is only a lashon of neder, of a vow, but it's not a lashon of hekdesh, and therefore there is no din me'ila? That's the question that Rava is asking Rav Nachman. Amar le tenitua. Rav Nachman told Rava, well, we learned it, meaning we can find the answer to this from our Mishnah. What does it say in our Mishnah? That the one who made the neder is allowed to do ashavata veda to the mudar. The one who made the neder, that the person, the mudar, cannot have hana'ah from his property, is allowed to be meshiv aveda, is allowed to return his object to him, his lost item. And what does it say? It says there, makom shenotnim alei ha-sachar, in a place where compensation is taken for returning a lost item, right? And then the case is that the one who returned it does not want to accept the compensation. So the mudar is not allowed to keep it by him, because then it will be considered that he's having hana'a from the one who made the neder. Tipol hana'a le'ekdesh. Therefore, he has to give the amount that is paid for compensation of hashavat aveda, he should give it to hekdesh. So Rav Nachman derives from this halakha of the Mishnah, le'meimra ki hekdesh, from the fact that you're saying that you have to give the money to hekdesh, sounds like the din of a kunam, of a neder that uses the word kunam, is like hekdesh. Ma hekdesh yesh bo me'ila. So just like by hekdesh, there is a violation of me'ila, of misuse of hekdesh. Av konamot yesh bahem me'ila. So by konamot also, there is a violation of me'ila. However, the Gemara says, ketana'e. This is actually depending on a machloket tana'im. We learned in the Braita the following. If a person says, konam kikar zo hekdesh, this loaf of bread should be konam and forbidden on everyone like hekdesh. Ve'achala, and he ate it. Ben hu, whether he ate it, uven chavero, or if his friend ate it, ma'al, there is a violation of me'ila, and you have to bring a korban, asham me'ilot, for that. Lefichach yesh la pidyon, and therefore, since it is asur on everyone, it is like hekdesh, and it has the possibility of redemption, of pidyon. Which means, if he redeems the kedusha of the loaf of bread on something else, so it goes off of the loaf of bread onto something else, there is pidyon. So that's if he said, konam kikar zo hekdesh. But if a person said, kikar zo alai lehekdesh, this kikar, this loaf of bread should be asur on me like hekdesh, va'achala, and he ate it, hu ma'al. He, if he ate it, he's mo'el, he violates me'ila. But chavero lo ma'al. But if his friend ate it, he's not mo'el. He doesn't violate me'ila. Lefichach en la pidyon, divrei Rabbi Meir. Therefore, since it's not forbidden to everyone, when the person only said, kikar zo'alai lehekdesh, So since it's not forbidden to everyone, it's not like Hikdish, and therefore it doesn't have redemption, which means you cannot remove the Kedusha off of this item, of the loaf of bread, onto something else. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim, chachamim say, ben kach uben kach lo ma'al. In both cases, whether he said, kinam konam kikar zo hekdesh, which means that he made it asur on everyone, or in the second case, where he only made it asur on himself, in both cases, lo ma'al. There is no me'ila, lefi she'en me'ila bekonamot. Chachamim argued Rabbi Meir, they say there's no violation of me'ila by a statement of a vow of konamot. So we see it's a machloket Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. According to Rabbi Meir, yesh me'ila bekonamot. According to Chachamim, en me'ila bekonamot. Amar le'Rav Acha berei de'Rav Avia le'Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha, the son of Rav Avia, asks Rav Ashi, according to Rabbi Meir, who says there is me'ila in konamot, in nedarim. If a person says to his friend, kikari alecha, my kikar, my loaf of bread is asur unto you, with a konam. Untana lo bematana. And then he gives it to him as a gift. Mima'al, who is the one who is mo'el, who violates me'ilah here, according to Rabbi Meir? I mean, and the Gemara explains the question. Lim'ol noten, to say that the one who gave it as a gift, the original owner of the loaf of bread, that he's mo'el, he's violating me'ilah, you can't say that. Halo asira ale. This loaf of bread was not asur on him, it was only asur on the one who's receiving it, right? Lim'ol mekabel, to say that the one who received it by as a gift, he is the one who's violating me'ilah. You can't say this either, because yachol de'amar, he can say, hetera ba'iti, I wanted to purchase something that is mutar. Isura lo ba'iti, I didn't want to acquire something that is asur. I wanted to receive a permitted item. I didn't want to receive a forbidden item. So therefore, since the loaf of bread is forbidden, if I accepted it from you, that means it was not my intention to do so. Meaning, the fact that I accepted the loaf of bread from you as a gift, that's because I thought it was chulin, not because I didn't know it's a kunam. So in other words, if you're telling me that no, it is hekdesh and you're going to violate me'ilah, well then my transaction, my acceptance was mistaken. So therefore, I don't agree in such a case to the transaction, to the acquisition. I only wanted to acquire something that is mutar. So how could you say anybody is mo'el here? Again, the question is, according to Rabbi Meir, who says there is me'ilah by nedarim, right? So if a person says, kikari alecha, to his friend, and then he gives it to him b'matana, who is the one who is mo'el? You can't say the one who gives it, it's not asur on him. The one who receives it, he didn't intend to acquire something of hekdesh. And now that you tell him it's hekdesh, so retroactively the acquisition doesn't take effect. If it doesn't take effect, then he was not mo'el. So who is mo'el? Amar le, so Rav Ashi told Rav Acha b'rei d'Rav Avia, mekabel ma'al l'chsheyotzi. Rav Ashi says the one who received the loaf of bread, he in fact is the one who is mo'el l'chsheyotzi, when he uses it for his own self. Because shekol ha'motzi ma'ot hekdesh l'chulin, anyone who uses money that is consecrated for Hekdesh for purposes of Chulin, for purposes that is not Kadosh, Kasavur shel Chulinu, when he was under the mistaken impression that it is not Hekdesh, that it is Chulin, Mo'el. The halacha is that regardless of the fact that he didn't know, he is considered to be Mo'el. So Afze Mo'el, so this person also who received the loaf, he is Mo'el, he is the one who is liable for the misuse of Hekdesh, even though he didn't know, as he says, he didn't know that it was Hekdesh, he thought that it was Chulin, but still the halacha is that when a person uses something for himself that belongs to Hekdesh, even though he didn't know that it was Hekdesh, the halacha is that he is Mo'el anyway. It's a shogeg of Me'ilah, but it's Me'ilah nonetheless. The next Mishnah on the top of Lamed He Amud Bet continues to list other things that a person can perform for someone else who is prohibited by a neder from benefiting from him. Again, the case is madir, one who made a neder, that someone else cannot have an anah from him, that someone else is a mudar. The madir can do certain things for the mudar, as we said in the previous Mishnah, such as hashavat aveda, contribute the machatzita shekel on his part, and pay up his debt. And now our Mishnah continues to list other things that the Madir can do for the Mudar. V'torem et terumato u'ma'aserotav leda'ato. The Madir can separate the Truma for the Mudar, and he can separate Ma'asrot for him, as long as it is leda'ato, with the knowledge and consent of the owner of the produce. U'makriv alav kinezavin, and he can sacrifice for him the kinezavin, the bird's nests. That's the pair, that's the korban of pair of birds or pigeons of the zav, of the one who became tameh betumat zav. After he becomes tahor, he has to bring kinezavin, he has to bring a pair of birds as a korban. So this person, the madir, can do that, can sponsor the korban of kinezavin for the mudar. Also kinezavot, if the mudar is a woman. So then there is a din also of kine zavot, the bird nest korban of the zavot. He can bring it for her as well, if she is the one who is mudar. Kine yoldot, and the bird nest of women after childbirth. Chataot v'ashamot, and the korban chatat, or the korban asham of the mudar, he can bring. U'melamdo midrash halachot ve'agadot, and the madir can also teach the mudar, midrash, halachot, and agada, aval lo yelamedenu mikra. But he cannot teach him chumash. Aval melamed hu et banav et benotav mikra. But he could teach his sons and his daughters chumash, Tanakh. The Gemara asks a question. Ibaya lehu, hane kohane. These kohanim, sheluchedi dan havu o sheluchedi shmaya. Are they our shluchim, our agents, or are they the shluchim, the agents of Shammai? Meaning when they perform the avodata korbanot in the Bet HaMikdash, are they considered our shluchim? They are doing on our behalf. They are our agent. Or are they doing the service of Hashem? They are shluchei dishmaya. Now, lemay nafka mina, what is the practical halachic difference whether they are our shluchim or Hashem's shluchim? Lemudar hana'a, the difference is regarding a case of one who is mudar hana'a, one who is prohibited by a neder from deriving benefit from another. I amar de shluchei didan havu, if you say that the kohanim are our shluchim, hamehanele ve'asur. So then the kohen, by performing the service of the korban for the person, he is bringing him hana'a, he's benefiting him, because he's fulfilling his shlichut. Ve'asur, and that would not be allowed. Ve'i amar, and if you say that the kohanim are shluchei dishmaya, they are not our shluchim. When we bring a korban and they perform the service for us, they are not our agents. They're agents of Hashem. Shareh, then it would be allowed for the kohen to bring a korban to tend to the services of the korban of the mudar for his korbanot. So there's a big nafkamina. My, what is the halakha? Again, the question is, kohanim who bring the korbanot on our behalf. A person, a Yisrael, goes to Beit HaMikdash, he brings an animal for, let's say, a korban chatat. And the kohen proceeds to do the avodah for on behalf of the Yisrael. So now the question is, let's say the Yisrael is mudar hana'a from the kohen. Let's say there is a neder, by the power of a vow, the Yisrael cannot derive benefit from the kohen. So now this kohen, can he do the services of the korban for this Yisrael? So it depends. If you say the kohanim are shluchei didan, they're our shluchim, meaning he's the shaliach of the Israel, so he's performing his shlichut, he's doing his agency, so he's giving him ana'a, he's benefiting him. So then it would not be allowed. You'd have to pick a different kohen to do it for you. Or if you say, however, that they are shluchei dishmaya, they are rather the agents of Hashem, not necessarily the shaliach of the person who brings the korban, then it would be mutar. So what is the halacha? So the Gemara brings proof to answer this question from the following, from our Mishnah. Tashema ditnan, it states in our Mishnah. If you have, let's say, a Kohen who prohibited someone else from having hana'a from him, makriv alav kinezavin, it says in the Mishnah, the Kohen can bring the korbanot on behalf of the mudar. Which korbanot? Kinezavin, or all the other korbanot listed in the Mishnah. So now, I amalt sheluche didan. If you say that the kohanim are our shluchim, meaning he's the shariach of the one who needs to bring the korban, so how does the Mishnah say that he's allowed to bring the korban on his behalf? Kamehanele, but he's giving him hana'a. He is performing his shlichut. So what do we see from our Mishnah? From the fact that it is allowed, that means the kohanim are shluche dishmaya.
They are not considered our shaliach. They're the shaliach of Hashem. And that's why the Kohen, who is the Madir, can bring the Korban on behalf of the Yisrael, who is the Mudar. And it's not considered that he's benefiting him. That's the proof. However, the Gemara challenges this proof. Veli ta'amich. And according to you, okay, what do you say now? That the Kohanim are shluchei dishmaya? That they are the agents of Shamayim, of Hashem? And therefore the Kohen, the Madir, can bring a Korban for the Yisrael, the Mudar? Well, then, litni, let the Mishnah state in a general way, makriv alav korbanot. Let the Mishnah just say, why does the Mishnah have to give a whole list of specific korbanot that he can bring for him? Let it just say, a kohen can be, who is a madir, can bring korbanot for the Israel who is mudar. That's all. Why do you have to say, makriv alav, kinezavim, kinezavot, kineyoldot, which are all korbanot that come for atonement, for kapara? Ela mehusare kapara shani. Rather, what must you say? You must say, really, we can say Kohanim are our shluchim. And the reason why the Mishnah allows the Kohen to bring the Korban on behalf of the Mudar, it's dafka in these Korbanot, because mehusare kapara shani, these are Korbanot that require, that bring about atonement. Their halachot is different. They come for a kapara on their owners, which means the bringing of this korban is only for the purpose of making the Yisrael, who is the owner of the korban, making him eligible to eat korbanot, to eat kodesh, and to come into the Beit HaMikdash. Because if he's a mechusar kapara, if he needs atonement, he cannot come into the Beit HaMikdash. So it's for the purpose of mechusare kapara. Okay, so why does that make it better? Why is therefore the Kohen allowed to do this benefit for him? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because like Rabbi Yochanan said, Hakol tzrichim da'at chutz mimechusare kapara. All korbanot, when the Kohanim bring the korbanot on behalf of others, they need da'at, which means they need the consent. They need the mind of the one who brought the korban. A person cannot bring a korban on behalf of someone else without his consent. Chutz mimechusrei kapara, except korbanot that are for the purpose of bringing atonement on the owner of the korban. Then you don't need da'at. You don't need the consent. Sharei adam mevi korban al banav ve'al benotav haktanim. Because when it comes to korbanot of kapara, of atonement, a person can bring such a korban even on behalf of his young children who don't have da'at. Sheneimar zot torat hazav, as we learn from the pasuk, the word says zot torat hazav. This is the Torah of the zav regarding the korbanot, and we learn from there ben gadol ben katan, that you can bring the korban both on behalf of a gadol and on behalf of a katan, which means the father can bring on behalf of his young child the korban for his, in order to bring atonement for him. Now, when he brings a korban for his child who is a katan, the child who is a katan doesn't have da'at, right? So what do you see from here? You don't need the da'at of the one who the korban is brought for when the korban is for the purpose of atonement. You don't need da'at. And since in these korbanot, you don't need the consent, so therefore it's not considered like you're his shaliach. It's not considered like the kohen is his agent. That's why, even though the kohen is a madir and the Israel is mudar hana'ah from him, he can bring him those korbanot on his behalf because he's not bringing him hana'ah, because he's not really his shaliach. He's just charged with the task of making sure that everyone has kapara. But in all other korbanot that do require consent of the owner of the korban, well, since you can say that the kohen is acting as a shaliach, as an agent for the owner of the korban, in that case, the kohen would not be allowed to bring it. That's why the Mishnah specified, dafka these korbanot, the madir can bring for the mudar, because these korbanot are korbanot of kapara. Kinezavot, kinezavin, kineyoldot, chataot, and ashamot. These are all, they all have in common that they come for atonement. For atonement, even according to the opinion that normally Kohanim are our agents, but in these Kohanot, they're not our agents. They are just making sure that there is kapara on this person by taking care of the Korban. And therefore, that would be mutar, even for a mudar, for someone who is under the prohibition to have hana'ah through a neder. The Gemara now asks, on this drasha that we just learned, we just brought down a drasha over here from the word Zod Torat Hazav, from the extra word Torat Hazav, we learned Ben Gadol Ben Katan, that we bring a korban of Ziva, of Tumat Ziva, whether for a Gadol or for a Katan. So the Gemara says, Ela me'ata, if that's the case, le Rabbi Yochanan, according to this teaching of Rabbi Yochanan. So what about the pasuk, Zot Torah Tayoledet? This is the Torah of the woman who gives birth, that she has to bring those korbanot. What are you going to say? Ben Ktana, Ben Gdola? What's this Torah now coming to include? Whether the one who gave birth is a Ktana or a Gdola? Ktana bat ledahi? Is a minor girl, meaning under age of 12. Is she able to give birth? Vehatani Rav Bibi kamed Rav Nachman. Don't you remember? We learned Rav Bibi taught in the name or in front of Rav Nachman. Shalosh nashim meshameshot bamoch. There are three women whom, when they engage in bi'ah, they have to use a contraceptive absorbent. That's a moch. And who are these three? Ketana, ume'uberet, umenika. Why is it a ketana has to use a moch? Ketana, shema tit'aber v'tamut. Because it is dangerous for her. If she will conceive, she might die. So what do you see from here? A minor, a ketana, is incapable of giving birth because she might die first. So how would you be able to say Zot Torata Yoledet is coming to include a ktana and a gdola? So the Gemara answers, according to Rabbi Yochanan, no. Hahi Zot Torata Yoledet, over there, the extra word Torat by the Korban of Yoledet is not coming to include ktana, like you said, you're right. There's no ktana that's Yoledet. Rather, it's coming to include Ben Pikachat, Ben Shota. Both the korban of Yoledet, of the one who gave birth, this halacha applies to both the pikachat, a halachically competent woman who has a da'at, or a shuta, a woman who is an imbecile, who doesn't have a mind. She also has to bring the korban of Yoledet when she gives birth. Sheken adam mevi korban al ishto shuta kedivrei Rabbi Yehuda. As we know, the halacha is that a man brings a korban on behalf of his wife, who is a shota, who is not able to do it on her own, in accordance with the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, de Tanya, as we learned in the Braita, Rabbi Yehuda omer, Adam mevi korban ashir al ishto. A person can bring the korban of a ashir, of a wealthy person, on behalf of his wife, v'chol korbanot shechayevet, as well as all the korbanot that she is obligated to bring. A wealthy woman, after childbirth, has to bring a specific korban, which is a keves ben shenato le'ola, and ben yona oto, both a lamb and a dove, or a turtle dove, as a korban chatat. A poor woman brings only two turtle doves, or two pigeons, one as a korban ola, one as a korban chatat. So now the halacha is that even if the woman is poor, and based on what's written in the ketubah, what she brought into the marriage, she would have to bring on her own the korban, the offering of a poor. But if her husband is rich, then he brings the korban on her behalf, the type of a korban that a wealthy person brings on her behalf. So that's what it means. Adam mevi korban ashir al ishto v'chol korbanot shechayevet. Why is that? Why is he obligated to bring a korban ashir, a wealthy person's korban on her behalf, even if she herself is poor? Shekach kotev la, because that's what he writes in the ketubah. Ve'achrayut de'itlich alai min kadmat dena. The responsibility to pay any financial obligations that you have before this moment is now incumbent upon me, which means these korbanot that she's obligated to bring are included in these obligations that are stipulated in the ketubah, regardless of her degree of competence, halachically speaking. So getting back to our Mishnah, the korban of a yoledet, of a woman after childbirth, is one of those korbanot that is for the purpose of receiving kapara. Therefore, even if the Kohanim are our shluchim, but they're allowed to bring on behalf of the woman the korban yoledet, because they can do so even without her intent, without her da'at. As we just saw, even a shota, even on behalf of a shota who doesn't have da'at, you can bring a korban yoledet on her behalf. So you see that no shlichut is required here. There's no shlichut. It's not being done because of agency. It's being done as a service of the Bet HaMikdash to make sure that everyone has kapara. And therefore, there's no proof from our Mishnah that the Kohanim are shluchei dishmaya. It could very well be that they are shluchei didan, and yet they can bring these korbanot, because these korbanot do not depend on shlichut. because they can be done even without consent. Once it can be done without consent of the owner, that means you're not doing it as a shlichut, as an agency of the person. Therefore, there's no proof that kohane shluchei dishmaya ninhu.